Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel 37. And I appreciate the opportunity to come and serve through preaching this morning. It's something I've been praying about and something I'm going to school for, so I appreciate the opportunity to help in this way. But we're going to read the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37 this morning. And God's Word says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He had me pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Then He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'Lord God, You Yourself know.' Again, He said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you so that you may come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a loud noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, tendons were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, The Lord God says this, Come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain, so that they come to life.' So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath entered them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the entire house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, This is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we ask that as your word is preached this morning, that it would be you that speaks to us and not man. We ask that you would please bless this time. And we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to what your word has for us this morning. We love you. We'll always thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ezekiel is a very interesting book. And if we're not careful, it's a hard book to understand. It's very prophetic. But the theme overarching the entire book of Ezekiel is the glory of God. That's the theme of the book, is the glory of God. And in this text this morning, Ezekiel 37, we enter Ezekiel's prophetic ministry at a very interesting time. A theme of restoration is taking place. And what God is about to do here is something that hasn't been so, and it hasn't been a reality for the nation of Israel for more than 300 years. He's about to take the northern kingdom, known as Israel, and the southern kingdom, known as Judah, and unite them together once more for the first time in 300 years, and He's going to use Ezekiel to do it. But in order to do this, God had to show the prophet Ezekiel a vision. And that's where we find ourselves at this morning. The vision of the valley of dry bones. And as I read this, I think to myself, what a weird vision. I mean, God, couldn't you have just told me what you were going to do? Did you really have to make me prophesy to some dead bones, walk around them a couple of times, and then that's what you're going to use to show me what you're going to do for your nation? Couldn't you just say, I'm going to bring nation back together again? I mean, do you really have to do this? It's not normal. But God had a greater plan. If God would have told Ezekiel what he was going to do for the nation of Israel, I'm fully convinced this morning that Ezekiel would have had doubts. And he may not have thought it possible. Ezekiel had a perspective. And God needed to give him a different perspective on what was about to happen so that he would remain faithful in carrying out his will. And what, there's a few things that we can learn here this morning from this vision. So notice with me, if you will, in verse 1. The Lord places us in the valley. Verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. When we understand that we're not in valleys, that God places us in valleys, valleys get a whole lot easier. They do. The Bible says God set Ezekiel in the middle of the valley. Psalm 137, 7 through 10 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think there's anywhere that you can be in life where God doesn't know where you are? Because we have this weird thing in Christianity today where we think that when we're going through hard times, somehow God's not there. Somehow God has deserted us and he's turned his back on us. But that's not so. It's not true. God is there. He places us in those hard times for his glory. Remember, the theme of the book of Ezekiel is God's glory. And our text this morning is what I just read from Psalm 137 in action. The text says, again, that Ezekiel was set down. God took Ezekiel from the previous chapter of blessing the mountains and brought him down into the valley to show him a different perspective. And I'm not sure how much experience we all have with valleys this morning, but usually valleys are easy to get in and hard to get out of. Sometimes the temperature changes. Sometimes they're darker. Our vision is blurred by what's around us. We got a ridge on one side, a ridge on the other side, and we can only look forward or backwards. Valleys change our perspective. You see, Ezekiel was blessing the mountains of Israel and was in God's presence. And then he was in the valley, but he was still in God's presence. And the Lord places us in these valleys, again, to give us a different perspective. You see, from the mountaintop, Ezekiel could not see all of the bones. You see, in the previous chapter, God was using Ezekiel to bless the land of Israel. It says in Ezekiel 36, verse 6 through 9, therefore prophesy in regard to the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my wrath, because you have endured the insults of the nations. Therefore, the Lord God says this, I have sworn that the nations that are around you will certainly endure their results themselves. But as for you, mountains of Israel, you will grow your branches and bear fruit for my people Israel, for they are about to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. God was using Ezekiel to prepare the land for restoration. But in Ezekiel 37, there was one more thing that God needed to show Ezekiel, and that was how he was going to prepare the people for restoration. You cannot prepare the land and leave the people on their own. He had to show Ezekiel both. So he brought Ezekiel from blessing the land into the valley to show him a perspective on how God was going to prepare the people of Israel for restoration. And in order for that to happen, God had to place Ezekiel in the valley, but Ezekiel had to listen to what God was telling him. So notice with me in verse 2 that the Lord assigns duties in the valley. Sometimes we think that we're just supposed to be idle whenever we're going through a tough time. That's not true. God assigns duties in the valley. Verse 2 says, He had me pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Notice God's word says, He had me pass around them. It wasn't Ezekiel's choice. God wanted Ezekiel to pass among the bones. It was not Ezekiel's choice to do so. And at times when we are placed in the valley, God has us do some things that we might consider strange. But no matter how strange the things are, we must remain obedient and do what He's asking us to do. We must understand that He's trying to show us His power and sovereignty over every situation. You see, God could have raised the bones on His own. He could have raised them on His own. He didn't need Ezekiel. Do you think that in your valley, if God's about to do something miraculous, that it has anything to do with you? I know I've needed to hear that in my life. It has nothing to do with us whenever we're going through a hard time. It has everything to do with God. Because God didn't need Ezekiel to raise the bones. He could have done it by himself. But God uses people. Throughout His Word, He uses people to carry out His will. And He doesn't deviate from that here in the text. Remember, this is a vision though. Almost like a dream. Again, what a weird dream. But God is literally using foreshadowing to reveal His will for the nation. It's the same thing as when an author writes a book and they give subtle hints throughout to what's about to happen at the end. Okay? That's what God is doing here for the nation of Israel. He's using foreshadowing to reveal what's about to happen in the coming verses. And have you ever thought that maybe God places us in valleys so that He can do a marvelous work in our life? Maybe He places us there to draw us closer to Him. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." The Lord is near. I've heard it put this way. Maybe God lets you hit rock bottom so you can realize He's the rock at the bottom. God may have put you in a tough situation to bring you back to your realization of your need for Him in every situation. Sometimes He does that. And if God sometimes uses valleys to prepare us, that means that we must realize He is there. But we also must realize that He is giving us something to do. And we also must realize that He is speaking. So notice with me again, the Lord is not silent in the valley. Look at verse 3 of the text here this morning. "Then He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'Lord God, You Yourself know.' Again, He said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones and say to them, You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. Behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And I will attach tendons to you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you so that you may come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a loud noise. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, tendons were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then He he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, the Lord God says this, come from the four winds, breath, and breathe on these slain so that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. God was speaking to Ezekiel in the valley. He wasn't silent. J. Vernon McGee said this, these bones scattered all over the ground are human bones. And the question that is put to Ezekiel is, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answers, O Lord God, thou knowest. In other words, he said, I don't see how they could. It's beyond me. You alone know whether these dead bones can live or not. And we see this interaction between two parties, God and Ezekiel. There's an interaction taking place, a conversation. God is telling Ezekiel something to do, and Ezekiel does it. There is interaction in the valley. Ezekiel's looking at dead men's bones, and God's speaking to him. I mean, it can't be easy to be staring at a valley filled with dead men's bones. I can't imagine that that's a fun picture. But God was there. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very ready help in trouble. A very ready help in trouble. And if we honestly believe that God can see everything and He can be everywhere, then we can't possibly believe that we're alone in the valley and that it's silent. Because I've been there. And I've felt alone. I've been there and I thought it was silent. And God was there the entire time. And I just didn't see Him. And I wasn't listening. The same commentator said, the first state of these bones is that they are scattered, dry, and dead. Then gradually they come together and the sinews and flesh come upon them. Sinews is just King James English for tendons. Okay. At the beginning of our journey through a spiritual valley, everything may seem hopeless, everything may seem desolate, everything may seem dead, but the longer we continue to perform the duties of God while we are in the valleys, we begin to see the outcome of His power and the outcome of our surrender to that power. And we see that here in verse 10. Ezekiel obeyed, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. I wonder what would have happened if Ezekiel just would have not listened. Or maybe he just said, nothing's going to happen if I do this. It's too strange for me, so I'm just not going to do it. I wonder what would have happened. You see, in order to receive the life that God intends to bring into our situations, we must first acknowledge that He is present. And then we must acknowledge that He is speaking to us through His Word. But we can't hear something that we don't know is there. Otherwise, we would mistake it for something else. And we can't listen to something unless we first hear it and recognize what it is. See, we have to look for God in the valley. Because the great thing about both mountaintops and valleys is that when you look up, you're looking in the same direction. You might be on the mountaintop, and when you look left and right, you can see everything in front of you, but you can still look up. And when you're in the valley, you're blinded by the ridges on both sides, but you can still look up. Because God is the guiding post whether you're in the mountain or in the valley. And as we begin to listen to the Lord and realize His presence, we begin to see His plan and His will. Notice with me that the Lord has a purpose for the valley. Look at verse 11. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the entire house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off." The Lord told Ezekiel what the vision meant. He told Ezekiel what the valley was there for. But it wasn't until after God revealed everything to him in that valley that he revealed what the purpose was. If God would have told Ezekiel what the vision meant any sooner than this, then Ezekiel would have had doubts. He would have had doubts. But instead, God waits. God lets Ezekiel get the full picture of everything that is going on before he gives an explanation. I remember a few months ago, and my wife will remember this, during a pretty rough battle with depression for myself, and basically being on all fours until I had no tears left to cry. It was there that God showed me who I was in Him. God had a purpose. He had a purpose for it. And the purpose was so that I remained grounded in Him. And I can't tell you how many times, including the circumstance that I just mentioned, that I've been going through something difficult, and afterwards, God shows me what the purpose for it was. The whole time, I'll be asking Him what the purpose is. The whole time. I'm in the valley, I'm asking what the purpose is. God, why are you doing this? Why have you done this? But it isn't meant to be revealed at that time. It's not meant to be revealed. Sometimes I want an explanation, but I need to gain the full picture before all the pieces of the puzzle begin to fall into place. I have to see the full picture. And even though the Lord may have a very significant and individual purpose for the valleys, that is not the only purpose for the valley. Notice with me, the Lord wants us to share what takes place in the valley. Look at verse 12. "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, I am going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." There was absolutely no way that Israel was going to know about this vision unless Ezekiel told them. Absolutely no way. Ezekiel was the only one given the vision. And if he would have kept his mouth shut, God's will wouldn't have been carried out. And they cannot prepare for what they do not know. The nation of Israel could not prepare for restoration if they didn't know restoration was coming. And that's why it was so important, verses 12 through 14, that Ezekiel has to share this vision. Okay? Remember, a reality is about to come for the nation of Israel that hasn't been a reality in 300 years. For the nation of Israel, that's a pretty long valley to be in. For their kingdoms to be split into two for that long. John 14:5 says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Thomas said, how do we prepare? And the next verse is where we get the infamous, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's Jesus' response. But let's look at John 14, 16 through 18. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not know him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. You see, the disciples are worried. They don't know what they're going to do without Jesus. When Thomas asked that question in John 14, 5, he wasn't wanting the answer Jesus gave. That's not the answer Thomas wanted. Thomas wanted to know, how in the world am I going to make it without you, Jesus? This is all I've known my whole Christian walk, is to walk face to face with the Messiah, but now you're leaving. You're leaving. What am I going to do? How are we going to make it? And his disciples were about to enter what I'm sure they probably considered a valley. There's no question about it. And Jesus prepared them in John chapter 14. And he told them, I'm going to send a helper. He comforted them by letting them know that though Jesus was not going to physically be there with them any longer, they would not be alone. It reminds me of when Peter denied Christ 3 times. And he thought such a thing wasn't going to be possible. Not Peter, not me, Lord. I wouldn't ever do something like that. And he did it. I'm sure Peter didn't feel too good after that. But you know, when Jesus rose from the grave, you know what he said? Go tell my disciples and Peter. See, I believe he calls us by name out of the valleys that we find ourselves in. See, because if he wouldn't have said, go tell my disciples and Peter, Peter probably would have thought, there's no way I'm getting let back into the circle. There's no way. I have been shunned. I've messed up too bad this time, God. There's no way I'm going to be forgiven. There's no way. And the people would have thought the same thing that were going to spread the news about the resurrected Messiah. And I believe Jesus was specific. Go tell my disciples and Peter. He wanted Peter to know. He probably felt unworthy, Peter. He probably felt defeated. But again, Jesus calls us by name out of the valleys. He calls us by name. I'm fully convinced of that. And if Peter would not have shared what took place in the valley or listened while he was in the valley, he may not have ever led 3,000 souls to Christ at Pentecost. You see, God used Peter despite his disobedience and his rough circumstances. He used him in a mighty and powerful way. And we must keep moving forward through our struggles with our eyes lifted to Jesus so that he will guide us up out of the valley. I think about riding a motorcycle. They say that when you ride a motorcycle, where you look is where you're going to go. If you look to the left, you're going to start veering left. If you look to the right, you're going to start veering right. It's much like the Christian walk, I think. When we keep our eyes on anything but Jesus, we start going in different directions. And we have to keep our eyes up. And I'm sure at times you felt like you should just give up. I know I have. I'm sure at times it felt like there was no hope. Maybe you felt lost, like sheep not having a shepherd. Maybe you felt like God had forsaken you. But that's not the case. God very well may have placed you in the valley. I don't know, but I do know that in every valley there are duties. In every valley, God is there. In every valley, there is purpose. And in every valley, there is future. Because the God that Ezekiel served is the same God that you and I serve right now. He's no less powerful now than he was then. We have to stop acting like we serve some half God that's not as powerful as he was in Old Testament times. Remember, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's still just as powerful, and he can still raise armies from dead men's bones, and he can take you out of your difficult circumstance. It doesn't matter what it is. Because if you're like me, I'm starting to think, well, not my circumstance. It's too much. It's too big. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how big you think it is. He'll lead you out of it. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we just ask that as during this invitation time, you would help us to remember that you are present, that you are here, that you're speaking through our difficult circumstances. Help us to remember these lessons that we can learn from the Valley of the Dry Bones, and help us apply it to our own walk with you. I ask that you would bless this invitation. I ask that you would be with us, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.